Notice what he says in verse 4. "And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words." Here it is again. He was concerned that they not be led astray from this, because he knew it was the depth of the reality of the Christian life. "For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the Spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ." Oh, they had a steadfastness of faith, didn't they? Where did it come from? The simplicity of the Christian life. That's where the steadfastness came from. And he goes on to say, "And as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him." How did we receive Him? How much knowledge did you have, brother, sister, when you received Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior? How much did you have? You didn't have very much. I look back at my own life. I remember when I received Christ as my Savior. Yeah, he was all I had. I didn't have anything else. I had no Bible knowledge. I had nothing to put my feet on. All I had was Christ. And He was all that I needed. And He was all that you needed. And He's all you need this morning. Hallelujah. He hasn't changed a bit. It's all we need. "As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, in the same manner, in the same way, with the same simplicity, so walk ye in Him." He was admonishing them. We had no hope apart from Christ. We repented and put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We called on Christ to save us. We have the joy of forgiveness through Christ. Christ was all we needed. And we went on in simplicity, knowing only the Christ that we met in the day of our salvation. Never get away from there. Never get away from that. Stay right there. Did not God say through the Apostle John to the church at Ephesus, "You've lost your first love. You've lost that sweet, simple marriage, espousal relationship that you had with Christ when you were first born again." That's what he was saying. You've lost it. You've gone away from it. Sure, you're doing good things. Sure, you do this. Sure, you go out and talk to people. Sure, you do this. You're standing for truth. You're casting out Jezebel. That's good. This is good. But what about this number one thing that is more important than all the rest of those? You've lost that sweet espousal relationship. You've lost it. It's not there anymore. You've made it complicated, and it's so simple. Notice verse 7. After he expresses this simplicity of walking in Christ Jesus, then he says, "Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." And I'd like you just to notice the context of those verses there, that if you want to be rooted, you want to be built up, and you want to be established, it's in the simplicity of a walk with Christ that we're rooted and built up and established in the faith. Verse 8, here he comes in again. Another warning. "Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophies and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." Oh, he's jealous for that, isn't he? There are many men going around. They have lots of ideas. They have lots of philosophies. They have lots of rudiments of the world. Beware of them, lest they spoil you and fill your mind with other things and pull you away from Christ. And then he goes back into it again. Notice, his burden, Christ, a warning, Christ, another warning, Christ. That's it. And he goes on to say, "For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power." Oh, it's glorious. Oh, I wish I could see it in its fullness. But here it is. He tells them, don't be moved away from Christ, for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead. Listen, all the experiences that you could ever have, you have them in Christ. And you're complete in Him. Well, let's move along here. We can see by looking at these texts, and we could go on and do this more this morning. Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus that the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Christ would be upon them. Paul, speaking about the church at Galatia, he said, I travail in birth till Christ be formed or defined or takes form in you. That was it. That was his worry. That was his burden for every church. The simplicity of Christ. The key to Bible interpretation this morning is Christ Jesus, brethren. The center of Bible revelation is Christ Jesus this morning. The source of every Bible doctrine is Christ Jesus. It's Him. That's all we need. Let it all flow out from Him. I mean, we get the picture this morning of a wheel. We could just put a wheel before your mind here this morning and put a center. A wheel has got to have a hub. Then it has spokes that come out from it. All kinds of them. There's the balance of the doctrines of the New Testament. Christ is the hub of the wheel. And out from there flow all kinds of doctrines. The doctrine of separation. The doctrine of self-denial. The doctrine of God's work. The doctrine of non-resistance. The doctrine of chastity. And all the many doctrines that we could bring out there. But they all flow out of one. Christ is the center of all doctrine. The breath of every Bible preacher is Christ Jesus this morning. You want to learn how to be a preacher? Preach Christ! You get a breath blowing in you that you won't get some other way. I guarantee you, you want to learn how to be a preacher? You preach Christ! You start opening your mouth for Jesus, and all of a sudden there's a breath, there's a heavenly breath that blows into the heart of any man or any woman who will open up their mouth to talk about Jesus Christ. There's a breath that blows in the heart of anybody who will preach about Jesus. You believe that this morning? The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy or the breath of prophecy. I'll tell you what, through my 15 years of ministry, I've seen a lot of people come into the Christian life and grow up and become useful in the kingdom of God. And I'll tell you who they are. They're the ones who got stuck on Christ when they were born again. And they were enraptured with Christ. And they began to speak about Christ. And they went everywhere they could speaking about Christ. And they'd stick themselves out on the street corner and preach Christ. And you know something? Those are the very ones that God began to put His hand on and blow on them. And they began to find inspiration. And the Bible was opened up to them. And they began to reach out and minister to other people. And I tell you, brethren, it's because they were stuck on Christ. And God saw that. And the testimony of Christ is the breath of prophecy. And God begins to breathe into anybody who will make that testimony paramount in their life and preach it wherever they go. God will breathe on them. I don't care who you are here. I don't care if you stutter and stammer while you talk. You stutter and stammer, Christ and God's prophecy will breathe into your life. I believe that with all my heart. You may not be called to be a leader of a church, but every single one of us is called to preach Christ wherever we go. And you'll learn that you have gifts to preach when you start getting all wrapped up in preaching about Jesus. I would recommend that to you. It's the breath of every Bible preacher. Everything Christ taught had Christ in the center of it. We even drop into heaven in the book of Revelation. What do we find there? Everybody's talking about Christ. They're worshiping Christ. They're singing about Christ. They're bowing down to Christ. They're enraptured with Christ. Everything is Christ in glory. Let Christ be everything in our lives. Therein is the simplicity of the Christian life. Christianity is not a religion this morning. It's Christ. There's a big difference. Christianity is not a mental assent to a set of teachings. It's Christ. Christianity is not a thing. It's a person. Christ Jesus. Did you meet Christ when you were born again? If you have not Christ, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his, the Bible says. It doesn't matter how many doctrines you have right in your life. If Christ is not reality, then there's something wrong. We think of the matter of doctrine. And I'm all for doctrine. But what is doctrine? Let's look at a few of them this morning. This matter of the simplicity of Christ, let's see how it measures up. Oh, we're going to look at it from a few different angles here this morning till every single one of us is totally convinced that there is no other way. You see, He is the foundation of the Christian life. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. What about the doctrine of separation from the world? I'm sorry, we're not turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. That's where it says that He is the foundation. But what about the doctrine of separation from the world? We believe in that, don't we? We believe that God wants us to be separated from the world. That's a good teaching. That's a good doctrine. That's a right thing. It's in the New Testament. But let's take a look at it for a minute. It's in Christ Jesus. If we take that doctrine outside of Christ Jesus, we're going to run aground. It's not going to come out right. If we're separated just for separation's sake, nothing is going to work right. It won't work. But if we'll look at Christ here this morning and realize He is our example. He was separated from the world. How was He separated from the world? He was so caught up with the Father. He was so filled with the other world. He was so anointed with the power of the world to come that He was separated from the world around Him. That's the doctrine of separation this morning. But oh, we get it all mixed up in our mind. And we think, oh, separation from the world. Okay, I don't want to look like the world. And it's right not to look like the world. But it better flow out of Christ. It better flow out of that relationship with Him. Otherwise, it's going to run aground. And you know what can happen. And some of you know exactly what has happened. We quit preaching Christ and we start preaching that. And Sunday morning, the meal for Sunday morning is black suits, black nylons, black shoes, and black cars. Now go home and meditate on that all week. What has happened? We've lost the reality of what the true reality of separation is from the world. Listen, you want to be separated from the world. You get so caught up into God, into Christ Jesus, that nothing else matters to you. That's the only way it'll ever work for you, any one of you. That'll begin to decide for you the decisions you need to make in life. Christ was so otherworldly. This will bring a true separation. And I thought about it. What a weak second best it is to settle for the nonconformity that so many have been sold. What a weak second place that is. You know what it is? It's like taking the dead letter of the Bible. That's all it is. Praise God for the dead letter of the Bible. But where's the living letter of the Bible? Where's the living translation of the Word flowing out of our lives? It is in Christ Jesus. That's where it is. Anything less than that, we'll run aground. You know, we get lots of warnings about having too much emphasis about experience around here. You know, I thought about it. As I meditated upon this message, I want nothing more that you experience the reality of the separation of the world through Christ Jesus. I want you to experience the doctrine of separation, not just know it. I want you to experience the reality of it. I want you to know what it is to be caught up with God, to be wrapped up in His presence, and not want to have anything to do with this world. I want you to know by experience the love that you have for Jesus to be such a love that all the other things are dumb to you. Yeah, I believe in experience around here. Think about the doctrine of war and non-resistance. The source of this doctrine is also Christ, is it not? What a shameful second best it is to decide that we're not going to go to war and sit home and fight with each other and sit home and fight with our wives and not even get involved in the army of the Lord Jesus. What a shameful second best that is to say we don't believe in war. Well, we don't believe in war. But the reason why we don't believe in war is because Jesus was love. And isn't it just as much of a sin to go out and let people die and go to hell as it is to go out and shoot somebody's brain out? I'll tell you what, I get weary of the doctrine of non-resistance being preached by a bunch of people who have let the world go to hell around them and not one bit of a conscience against it. I'll tell you, if we get back to the reality of Christ Jesus, the doctrine of non-resistance will come alive in our lives. We won't fight with each other. We won't fight with our wives. We'll go out and win the world to Christ. We'll get into the real war because there is one going on. I think it's a cop-out to skip out on some physical war and sit around in your lazy spiritual life and not get involved in the real war. I think it's a shameful cop-out. And you young men, you may get the chance to face the reality of the whole thing, the way things are going now. You may have to face the reality of that. What a shameful cop-out to not go over there and give your life and then stay here and refuse to give your life to the Lord Jesus in service, in war, in battle, in the heavenly places. What a shame. You see how the doctrine of Christ changes the whole picture. Well, I'll tell you what, it puts life into those doctrines, doesn't it? What about the doctrine of self-denial? Jesus taught that, didn't He? I mean, He said, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Me. Let's look at that one for a moment. Why do we deny ourselves? Do we deny ourselves just to deny ourselves? Is that what Jesus said? Part of the Christian life is denying yourself, so go around denying yourself. That's not what He said. He said, deny yourself and follow Me. There it is. There's the balance right there. We deny ourselves to follow Him. What a cheap second best it is if we deny ourselves just to deny ourselves. You know what that turns into? Asceticism. Monkism. Self-denial that is not after Christ is off the foundation, and all it'll do is make asceticism. Ascetics out of us. That's exactly what the early church did way back, somewhere back there, when they departed from Christ. Then they come up with a bunch of doctrines. We believe in self-denial. I think I'll be a monk. I think I'll go out in the desert, live in a cave out there. Poor man lost the whole reality that Jesus was about. Lost the whole thing because he was off the foundation, which is Christ. What about the doctrine of God's work? This will be the last one this morning. We believe in that, don't we? We believe that God wants us to get involved in the work of building His kingdom. But if we see that all by itself, and we do not see it after Christ, again, we'll run aground. It won't come out right. There are people all over this country that are so busy doing God's work that they've lost the reality of God in their life. It's God's work. We're serving Him. It's the service of the King, not just service. If we're serving Christ, He'll be in the center of it. He'll be the motivator of it. He'll be the energizer of it. And if we're not, it's just a bunch of busyness. It's just a bunch of show. It just goes on. It just gets done. And it'll probably get burned up at the judgment seat of Christ. Wood, hay, and stubble. It'll be gone just like that. Why? Because it was done, but not after Christ. Not in the reality of Christ, not as a service to Christ, not knowing Christ, but just doing the work It'll be gone just like that. Wood, hay, and stubble. They burn real fast when you put the fire to them. In closing this morning, I'll give you an illustration out of history. You know, they say, the only thing we learn from history is that man never learns from history. I don't believe that. Now, it may be so of man, but it shouldn't be so of God's people. Because this book is filled with history. And may the Lord give us wisdom to learn from the history that is in this book so we don't have to make the same mistakes. Just a little illustration out of history. You know, in the early church, in the days of the apostles, in the days shortly after the apostles, their doctrines were very simple. They believed in Christ. He was all in all. He was number one. He was most important. Their relationship with Him was number one. It was the same with the early Anabaptists. I believe that's why they can't figure out what the Anabaptists believed. Because the Anabaptists didn't have a big book full of doctrines. They had Christ, who was the fulfillment of all the doctrines. They had Him in reality. They had Him in their lives. They lived after His pattern. They didn't have a doctrine book. And I think we need to do the same thing. Well, about 300 A.D., things began to change. The churches began to move away from the reality in Christ Jesus. And as soon as you begin to move away from the reality in Christ Jesus, doctrines all of a sudden start popping up and they take a new importance that they didn't have before. Around 300 A.D., a bishop sat down, a bishop from North Africa. He sat down with his elders and they began to have a discussion together there, just a minister's meeting. A question was asked. A statement was made. The bishop challenged the statement. The elder who made the statement rose up and defended what he said. The bishop rose up and defended what he said. And all of a sudden there was a controversy between the two over how was the Son of God begotten. Oh, big thing! And one argued this point, and the other one argued this point, and it was a controversy. And all of a sudden the elders started taking their sides, and some chose the side of the bishop, some chose the side of the other elder, and they had a controversy in the church. It spread out of that meeting and into the church, and the people started talking. So there's a problem. No unity among the leaders. What's the problem? What's the issue? Well, he says this, and he says this, and oh, this thing started churning among the people, and all of a sudden there was a real problem in the church. News came. The news went out that there was a problem in this church in northern Africa, and a wise old bishop from Spain was sent there. And he came in there and he sat down and he heard the controversy. And the bishop laid it out the way he thought, and the elder laid it out the way he thought. And those that chose the bishop's side, they added their points. And those that chose the elder's side, they added their points. And this wise old bishop heard them all out, and they all said all the things you were supposed to do. And then he told them what he thought they ought to do. Just drop it. That's what he told them. He said, just drop this whole thing and get back to Christ. You're going to make trouble. You're going to make chaos. It's questions that gender strife and doubting. Just drop it. That's what he told them. And he went back to Spain. But they didn't drop it. Oh, no. Doctrine. Boy, doctrine's important. And doctrine is important. I'm not saying that it's not. But if we've lost the reality of Christ and we're going to fuss around about doctrine, we need to repent and get back to the reality. Then you'll see the doctrine's right. Well, they didn't hear the wise old bishop. And they kept on fussing about it. And pretty soon the news spread and other churches got involved in it. And pretty soon the thing was just scattered everywhere and there was problems and troubles. And what started out to be maybe a simple statement turned into a great big blow-up, into a major heresy. Many papers were written about it and all of that. Eventually, this was in the 300s. Constantine heard about it. He got involved in it. Imagine that. a worldly heathen king, he's going to solve the problem. So he calls all the bishops and elders together at Constantinople. It takes them about 2 months to get there. And here they all come. They're out there watching over their doctrinal statements, and they're all practicing their oratory and how they're going to defend their position and all of this. And right in the middle of the whole thing, a wise old bishop stood up, another one. He stood up in front of them all and he said, "Drop it. Just lay the thing down. You're going to make confusion. Get back to Christ. Get back to reality. Get back to simplicity." But no, they didn't listen. They didn't listen. So they went into this thing and they locked horns, I don't know, for a couple of weeks. And finally Constantine, heathen ruler, not having any wisdom of God at all, he decided, "I've got an idea. We'll just write up a creed. And then everybody will quit arguing because we'll write up a creed." No, Constantine! They need to get back to Jesus! No creed will ever unify them! But he didn't know that. He came after his own natural reasoning. "We'll write up a creed." So they wrote up a creed there and gave it to all the bishops. And the bishops went back to all the churches and said, "Here's the creed. We all agree on this. We all believe this." And the people looked at it and said, "But I don't believe that. And that's not how I understand it." And more confusion came and more fighting came. And they've been fighting ever since, brethren. Fussing, fuming, arguing. When the reality is Christ Jesus. The reality, it's Christ Jesus. The early church had a simplicity of doctrine because Christ was their all in all. The Anabaptists had a simplicity of doctrine because Christ was their all in all. And I believe in these last days God is drawing His people back to the reality of Christ and simplicity of doctrine. That's the Lord's heart. That's what He's calling us to. And I'm not saying we're having any big problems here that I know of. We're not. But an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Amen? Let's prevent it before. A lot of times I hear brethren pray for unity in the church. Brothers and sisters, if you want unity, get your heart set on Christ. Let His fire burn in your heart every day. That's the greatest thing you could ever do for the unity of this church. Nothing else can do what that'll do. It's good to pray prayers of unity. But if we are not unified with the One who unifies everyone, there'll be no unity in this church. That was what Christ prayed in His high priestly prayer. He prayed that we would be one. We would be one with the Father and the Son. And thus we'd be one together. And that's the only way that you'll ever have true unity. I'm not saying this morning the doctrine doesn't matter. But let it flow out of Christ. Let it be the simplicity of Christ. Let's be more concerned about the reality of Christ than the splitting of hairs. For this has divided the Church of Jesus Christ for centuries already. I believe as God continues to move upon His people in the last days, these things are going to fall by the wayside as Christ becomes clear before our faces, as His reality becomes into our lives, as that union that we have with Him becomes reality in our lives. All those things will fall by the wayside, and the church will be one, and the church will be unified, and the church will be like one man, and the church will have its armor on, and the church will war against Satan, and the church will be triumphant. And it's in Christ. It's simple. It's just simple. That's all there is to it. Let's kneel together for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we just come to You in Christ Jesus. We come in His name this morning, God. And I trust we come in some of His reality also, Father. We come before You, Lord, begging Your blessing upon us this morning. Oh God, how can we say it? How can it be said, Lord? I just pray that You'll add Your blessing to the words, Lord. I pray that You'll open up our eyes and help us to see it, dear God. Make up that which is lacking, dear Father, in each one of our lives. Oh God, I pray, teach us sound doctrine. Teach us the true soundness of doctrine. Oh Father, we just thank You for the words that You put in the Bible. Their depth, their simplicity, yet their depth. Oh God, I pray, keep us simple believers. Let us be fools, that we may be wise in Christ Jesus. Oh Father, this is our prayer before You. God, we want to see a revival. We need a revival, Lord. The harvest is almost past, Father. So many are not saved. So many needs even among us, Lord. We don't have the answers to them. We cannot do it, Lord. We don't know what to tell them. We need a revival, dear God. We just bring that before You this morning and pray. Breathe on us, Lord. Oh, God. Come on down, Lord. Come on down. Minister to Your people, Lord. Be the shepherd. Be the chief shepherd over our souls, O God. And minister to Your people, Father. I pray, O God, just establish us in Christ, in His reality. Father God, just pray for all these dear people this morning. I pray Your blessing upon them. I pray, Lord, that they'll grow. I pray that they'll mature till they all come to the fullness of the stature of Christ. Lord, whatever that means, I don't even understand it all myself, God. But I pray it for all of us here. God, we ask Your further blessing upon the service, Lord. You lead, Lord. You guide. Oh, God, let no one speak out of his own mind, but let him speak out of the heart of Christ this morning. Lord, watch over the testimonies, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. You may leave us a message by pressing 99. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 88. To find out how to listen to a church service at Ephrata Christian Fellowship, press 77. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.